Thanks so much for coming today. I'm Sam. I'm the minister for Trinity at Four. We meet every Sunday at 4 o'clock. We've actually just outgrown the facilities here at Holy Trinity. So for our regular services, we're now down at the Christchurch Centre, which gives us lots more space to do the stuff we do for our young people in particular. So, but we're so pleased to have you here. And goodness me, what a difference a year makes. Here we all are, socially distanced. You arrive, you sit, you will leave. There will be no mince pies. There will be no mingling, which, by the way, we normally love to do. And it's sad not to be able to welcome you in the way that we normally would. But let me just ask a question of us as we begin that I think everyone here will have an opinion on, which is this. What do you find most difficult about this whole new world of social distancing? I mean, I guess this is the bit of the pandemic that has impacted all of us. So I was chatting with a lady just this week who, this week, she was able for the first time since March to visit her own dad in a care home. And she wept, as she told me. There'll be grandparents who've been unable to see grandkids. I guess people more at my stage of life have young kids themselves. They've had all their backup just kind of wiped away for the last 8 or 9 months. Those of us who work, most of us now working from home, which is, you know, great for convenience, but also like much more isolating. And there's people like my friend Chris, who, my mate Chris, lives and works over in Singapore. His parents, elderly parents, live in Northern Ireland, and Chris and his wife have just had their first baby. And there they are, stuck on opposite ends of the planet. The truth is though, it's not, you don't have to be on opposite ends of the planet for it to be difficult to see people anymore. It seems like you need a degree in logistics and creative thinking even to see your next door neighbours nowadays. I mean, it's an extraordinary world we're all living in at the moment. So this came home to me when we were, do you remember the good old days, by the way, when the rule of six applied inside as well? And you could have people around. They were good old days, weren't they? But in those good old days, I've got a study at the top of the house. So I come down and there's my daughter on the bottom of the stairs. She says, "Dad, stop. There are already six of us down there." Flies my five-year-old daughter. It's amazing, isn't it? But there is a serious side to it as well. And if you were here last week, I actually worked through some of the impacts that we are aware of already that this whole pandemic is having. Here's another one that I didn't mention. In normal life, whatever that is, 1 in 10 of us would suffer from some kind of mild through to severe depression. Okay, so 1 in 10. Do you know what that's gone up to since the pandemic? Any guesses? 1 in... It was 1 in 10. Okay, it's now 1 in 5. Okay, so I don't know how many, maybe there are about 40 of us here today. So that means 8 people here on average will be suffering from this for the moment. I guess it turns out social distancing is not very good for us as human beings. Actually, lack of social interaction is a huge contributing factor to statistics like this. And so here's a question for us, just for 10 minutes or so, as we think together this evening. This is the question, how is the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago good news for us in this social distance world that we're living in? Okay, that's the question I'd just love us to kind of chew through together for a few moments. And it is good news, and it's good news that can be summarized with a little word that actually we use all of the time, but over these last 9 months, we have realized how utterly fundamental to everything in life this little word is. Okay, this is the word. With. Just think about the significance of that little word. And think how much poorer we are without it. And then just have a look at your service sheets, because there's a reading which has been printed on page 2 that we have read for us. And can you see the bit in bold? Okay, it's talking about a prophecy in the book of Isaiah. It's about 600 years before Jesus was born, a prophecy that a virgin would give birth. And the significance of the child who would be born, of course, we know that to be Jesus now, could be summed up with a name. Do you see the name? Emmanuel. And just have a look. Can you see what Emmanuel means? God with. God with us. I read a story recently of, well, maybe you did as well, it's in the news, I think it was in November, a lady called Nina Ambrose. And Nina, like many people, had been furloughed. And she's got a dad, Roger, 77 years old, and Roger is in a care home. And Nina realises that the only way that she can see her own dad is to get a job in the care home. And so she does. Now, when I heard that story, do you know what I thought? I thought it's a bit sad that that's the only way you can see your dad. But what I really thought was, what an amazing expression of love. Okay, so committed was she to being with her dad, that as it was, she was willing to enter into his world. Now, at Christmas, on a much bigger scale, that's what happens with the God who made us. He created this world. He comes down into our world. It's an amazing expression of love to be with us. God with us. It's an amazing thought. It means if you want to know what God is like, not just that he's there, but what he's like, just look at Jesus. And I can tell you, if you do that, what you'll see, you will think this is astonishingly good. It is. But more than that, it shows us that God is not detached. Okay, how can you put this? He has felt our cold. Okay, he knows what it's like to be lonely, to struggle and to suffer, to weep until you're empty. Okay, whatever you are going through or have been through, the God of the universe has been through it too. God with us. But it does raise a question, doesn't it? Why would he do that? Okay, if he came down into this world, and of course for some of us that remains an if, and that's just fine, but if he did, why would he do that? Well, to understand it, I mean, it's very good news, but to understand why it's such good news, it helps us to revisit a beautiful story. Okay, it's actually also a tragic story, but it's a beautiful story, and it's a story of our world as told by the Bible. Now, I know that for some of us, we've got kind of question marks about the Bible, but I think you'll find this story continues to have great power and resonates with all of us. Okay, so this is how the story goes. It begins with God, who creates our world with this word, with, right at the heart of it. Okay, so he creates the world so that we might be with him. Okay, if you think of it, that's the kind of, I suppose that's the vertical. So just imagine a world where you know God. Okay, you experience his love on a daily basis. You know his plans, and you know exactly how to live in a way that both brings him glory and is also the very best thing for all of us with him. But that was meant to then spill out into all of our relationships with one another. And this is, if you like, the kind of the arrows going out, so that the love that defines God, this other people-centered love, also defines us and our relationships with one another. It's a beautiful story. And by the way, if you're wondering why we find social distancing so hard and why it's so damaging for us, it's because we've been created with at the heart of our DNA. Okay, it's not an accident. It's fundamental to who we are, to how we've been created. It's a beautiful story. But it's also a tragic story, because this is what all of us, in our own way, have done. Okay, we've taken the whip, and we've said, no, thank you. And we've replaced it with something. Here's what we've replaced it with. Me. So we do that with God. We say, actually, you know what? I don't like the idea of someone else telling me what to do. I'm going to set the pattern for my own life. And what does that do relationally? Well, of course, it ruins it. And so we're disconnected from the God we were made to be with. But it also has kind of horizontal implications as well. Because if you've got 6 billion people on the planet all living for me, well, of course, it leads to the kind of world that actually, well, the kind of world that leaves us heartbroken and struggling. I mean, it's, some of us would have felt this. Now, I just find this makes a lot of sense of the world as we experience it. We have a great desire and craving for relationship, to be with others, because it's been how we've made it, and yet we find relationships so hard to maintain. That's because it's a beautiful story, but it's also a tragic story, because we scrunched up the with and we put me there instead. But listen, here's the good news of Christmas, right? Because Jesus came to be God with us. Why did he come to be with us? Well, just have a look again at the verses on your sheets. Do you see, just above the ones printed in bold, there's another name. I mean, we've already seen Emmanuel, God with us, but do you see the other name? She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, sin, that's a kind of Bible word. It's not a word we use in normal life particularly, but here's what it's talking about. It's talking about this, okay? So one person put it like this: man curved in on himself. It's when we shut God out, and actually that ripples out in our relationships with others as well. Okay, Jesus came to save us from that. Why do we need saving? Well, not just because it makes a mess of the world, and it does, but also because it's heading in a disastrous direction. Okay, if God remains the righteous king of the world, and we've just rejected him, then it means we're heading on a path not to experience his blessing, but his judgment. So it's bad news, but at Christmas, God came into our world, God with us, to save us. And it is astonishing how he did that. As he grew up, the God of the universe would go and die on a cross. And here's the amazing thing. He bore the judgment that we deserve for our own attitude himself. He took it for us. God with us on a cross, dying out of love for us, to save us. And the Bible goes on to say how he rose again. We can know that the price has been paid. We can have that new life in our hearts as well. So that's what he saves us from. And this is, I mean, it's all amazing, but this is great as well, because this is what he saved us for, right? To reconnect us with what we were always meant to be, to bring back the with, so that we can be with God again. Okay, relationship restored, because this great block of sin is gone. It's dealt with by Jesus. So now I can know God, I can experience his forgiveness, know his peace in my life, know his presence. Exactly, actually, what I was created for, and it then ripples out horizontally into our relationships with each other. And as I'm transformed by his love, that then spreads out into my relationships with others as well. Okay, that is amazing, isn't it? What Jesus has done. It's a beautiful story, a tragic story, and an amazing story of what Jesus then does to restore us. But here's the thing, right? It's not just a story. Because Jesus was really born in a real place at a real time. He really grew up. There are real accounts about his life that you can read and investigate and look into. He really died. He really rose again. And it's true. If you're not convinced, do research, look into it for yourself. And the implications are huge for us, because it all amounts to an amazing invitation. This is the invitation. Jesus says to each of us, look, I am God with you. Will you let me walk with you? That's the invitation. Will you let me walk with you? I'll pay for your sin, all of it. I'll give you eternal life for free. But will you just let me walk with you? That's the invitation. I was trying to work out how to help us to appreciate the kind of brilliance of this. And it made me think of a story. It's a true story, actually, of a father and a son called Dick and Rick Hyatt. Dick is a dad, Rick is a son. Rick was born as a paraplegic, so he can't walk or really communicate very well at all. But as he grows up, he discovers that he feels most alive when he's outside with his dad doing stuff. And so there's this one occasion where there's a 5-mile race, raising money for something. And his son says, Dad, I'd love to do that. And so his dad says, son, we're going to do it. And so he constructs this kind of buggy that his son sits in, and he races it with him. And anyway, this is the beginning of a journey that leads him eventually to competing in triathlons around the world. And there are points at which he drags his son in a dinghy behind him as he swims. It's an amazing story. I thought we'd just watch. It's such a great little clip. I've just got 2 minutes to give us a sense of this.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak? I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship. I can only imagine.
It's an amazing story, isn't it? I mean, I tear up every time I watch it. I think the love of that father, that he wants to be with his son, whatever it takes, even if it means carrying him. And people say, oh, wow, it's an amazing story. Listen, that is the Christmas story. God who came to be with us, despite our weakness, despite our struggles, because he loved us, and he's come to carry us through life. It's amazing. So the invitation, will you let me walk with you, Jesus Emmanuel, God with us? Listen, just before we finish, can I just say one mistake I think we often make about this, about the Christian faith, okay? I try to just show us all that this word is actually the heart of it, relationship with. Okay, we feel that at the moment because we're struggling with the social distancing. But here's the mistake I think we often make about our perception of Christianity. We tend to think of it as revolving around a different word. And this is the word I think we can think it revolves around. Do. Okay, have you thought of that? If God is there, I've just got to do the right things. Okay, if I do this, then he will accept me. If I live this kind of life, if I'm that kind of person, then that's what it's about, right? It doesn't really matter if I come to church. As long as I'm a good person, then God will be okay with that. If that's what it's all about, isn't it? Keeping the Ten Commandments and all the rest of it. It's not what it's all about. Okay, if you have thought that, you know, in the gentlest possible way, can I just tell you that you have got it completely wrong? It's not about do. It's all about with. God with us, who loves us, who does everything, even dying on the cross, so that we might be with him again. So can I just ask you, please get do out of your heads when it comes to Christianity. Please get with in your heads. Okay, with God, with each other. By the way, it's why if you become a Christian and trust in Jesus, you want to come to church, because why wouldn't you want to be with God's people? Of course you want to do that. But what does this all mean for us? How do we respond? Well, we'll all be in different places. We've heard the invitation. Jesus says, will you let me walk with you? Some of us actually just need to accept that invitation. You know, we don't quite know what it means. We just need to accept it and we'll discover what it means as we go along. Others, we're much further back. We just need to start investigating. And I encourage you to actually take the time to do this. It is good enough and important enough to be worth your while doing that. But whoever you are, it's my prayer that this Christmas, with all the difficulties, you will come to know the joy and the peace of knowing God with us. It really is a game changer. If you were to accept this invitation, you are never alone, and you always have hope, because one day this with will become an eternal and perfect reality. We only ever experience it in part now, but one day it will be a perfect and glorious reality forever and ever. That's the invitation. Well, listen, I'm going to just finish there, and perhaps I'll just leave a few moments of quiet for our own reflections, and then I'm going to close in a prayer. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's pray. And so, Father, we thank you for the good news of Christmas, the good news of Jesus. And Lord, some of us, this is all new. We're actually quite excited by this idea, but we need to know more. And so we pray that you'd help those of us who are in that position to actually take the time to find out more. We know how busy life is, how distracted we get, and how these things always can so easily just be good intentions that we never get around to. Lord, help us to actually get to the bottom of Jesus and work out what we think ourselves. Some of us perhaps actually realize that we need to accept the invitation Jesus extends to us this Christmas to be God with us. And for those folks, just pray that you would walk into their lives, and pray that you'd help there to be an acknowledgement of the way that we've gone wrong and need your forgiveness, and a joy in receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord in our lives. And pray that that would make a profound impact, and that your love would flood hearts and flood out into our world and into our relationships as well. And Lord, we pray in this dark time, this difficult time, that actually the joy of knowing God with us would give us hope and comfort in these times. And we pray all of that in Jesus' name.